on temptations. Watch ye and pray that ye not enter into temptation. Matthew 26:41. The following is from St. John Chrysostom. If God does not stop those temptations with which you are assailed, he does it for reasons which are sure to result to your advantage. First of all, he wishes you to know and feel from experience that you have become stronger, more powerful than your enemy. He wishes also that this temptation may keep you, as it were, in a balance, and that the dangers which threaten you prevent you from being exalted on account of the graces you have received. God wills also that you should be tempted in order that the devil, who is in doubt if you have renounced him, at length knows by your patience that you are still true to your Lord and Savior. More than this, God's intention is that your soul should be fortified through temptation, and it thus remains stronger than ever. Finally, God permits the enemy to attack you in order that you may realize by that how great and precious is the treasure he has entrusted to you. For Satan would not have attacked you so violently had he not seen you elevated to a condition more glorious than that in which you were in before. It was that which irritated him so much when he saw Adam living in so glorious a garden. It was that also that made him so vexed against Job when he saw that God even bestowed on him so many praises. The following is from St. Francis de Sales. You must be courageous amidst temptations, and never think yourself overcome so long as they displease you, observing well this difference between feeling and consenting, namely, we may feel temptations though they displease us, but we can never consent to them unless they please us, since the being pleased with them ordinarily serves as a step towards our consent. Let then the enemies of our salvation lay as many baits and allurements in our way as they please. Let them stay always at the door of our heart, in order to get admittance. Let them make as many proposals as they can. Still, so long as we remain steadfast in our resolution to take no pleasure in the temptation, it is utterly impossible that we should offend God. With respect to the delectation which may follow the temptation, it may be observed that, as there are parts in the soul, the inferior and the superior, and that the inferior does not always follow the superior, but acts for itself apart, it frequently happens that the inferior part takes delight in the temptation without the consent, nay, against the will of the superior. This is that warfare which the Apostle describes in Galatians 5:17 when he says that the flesh lusts against the spirit, and that there is a law of the members and a law of the spirit. The following is from Spanish priest Alphonse Rodriguez. To encourage us in temptations, it will be a great help if we consider the weakness of our enemy and how little he is able to do against us, seeing that he cannot make us fall into any sin against our own will. Behold, my brethren, says St. Bernard, how weak our enemy is. He cannot overcome but him who has a mind to be overcome. If a man who was going to fight were sure to overcome if he would, how joyful would he be? Would not he think himself sure of a victory which depended only upon his own will? With that same confidence we should fight against the evil one, for we know very well that the devil cannot conquer if we ourselves will it not. St. Jerome remarks the same upon the words which the evil spirit said to our Savior, when, having carried him up to the pinnacle of the temple, he counseled our Lord to throw himself down headlong. Cast thyself down, said the tempter. And this, adds the saint, is the true language of the devil, who desires nothing so much as the fall of all men. He can indeed persuade them to throw themselves down, but he cannot throw them down himself. The voice of the devil says, throw yourself down into hell. Answer him, do so yourself. You know the way. As for me, I will not. For he cannot have the power to make you if you have not the will to do it. It is related in ecclesiastical history that the abbot Isidore was attacked for 40 years by a violent temptation and yet never yielded to it. We see also a great many examples of the holy fathers in the desert who all their lives were attacked with violent temptations which they always sustained with a steady and equal confidence. These were those giants, according to the prophet, who were expert in war. Baruch 3:26. We ought to imitate them in this. And St. Cyprian, desiring to inspire us with the same confidence, makes use of the words of God in the prophet Isaiah, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, and called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou shalt pass through the waters, I will be with thee, and the rivers shall not cover thee. When thou shalt walk in the fire, thou shalt not be burned, and the flame shall not burn thee, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel. Isaiah 43:1-3. Those words also of the same prophet are well fitted to strengthen us in the same holy confidence. As one whom the mother caresseth, so will I comfort you. Isaiah 66:13. Imagine with what marks of love a mother receives her infant when, being frightened at anything, it casts itself into her arms. How she embraces it, how she presses it to her breast, how she kisses and tenderly caresses it. But the tenderness of God for those who have recourse to Him in temptations and dangers is, without comparison, far greater. The following is from St. Augustine. During life's pilgrimage on earth, we cannot be without temptations. We profit and advance only through temptations. We would not acquire self-knowledge unless we were tried. No crown without a victory, no victory without a struggle, and no fight without temptations and enemies. If we were never tempted, we should never be tried. Is it not therefore better to be tempted than to be censured without being tempted?